ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरि। ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। ज्ञान कर्म संन्यास योगो नाम चतुर्थोऽध्यायः। सो ज्ञान कर्म संन्यास योगः, वी अंडरस्टैंड हियर फाइनली व्हाट कृष्णा वांट्स टू टीच अस हियर is that swarupam of I, the truth of I is abstract formless reality which is of the nature of self-existence, which is timeless, which is of the nature of knowing, knowledge. And it is this reality implied by the term Atma is there as the swarupam of the I, the knower, and which is of the nature of actionlessness. Atma is of the nature of actionlessness. Therefore, Atma is not the doer or the knower, but there cannot be knower or doer without the Atma. And once I is cognitively resolved in this Atma, the consciousness, one can see if Atma is understood, Atma being the one's real self is understood, definitely one can see oneself being free from doership and anjarship. If a person can claim this truth, consciousness of oneself, then definitely one sees the fact of oneself being free from doership and enjoyership. Thereby, one can free oneself from the wrong notions that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, etc. And from the standpoint of consciousness, one can see how there's no punyam or papam, no emotions, no doshas, no impurities, no blemishes for the Atma. And it is this understanding of one's swarupam, thereby seeing the fact of self being already free from doership and enjoyership, self being already free from punya papas, all karmas, is in fact attainment of freedom, which is moksha, jivan muktihi, which is real sannyasa, which is jnana karma sannyasaha. Therefore, absolute freedom is absolute happiness, absolute peace of mind, absolute purity. It is only in jnanam. Jnanam is the only solution. Therefore, the swarupam of the Atma is in the very beginning discussed in second chapter. It's again discussed here. And now, Krishna says to accomplish such knowledge, that knowledge of the self, one has to definitely surrender to the Shastram, which serves as the means of knowledge, on for which one has to approach the teacher who can unfold this verse of Shastra. And if a person approaches the teacher, knowing the value of the teaching, knowing the, having reverence for Shastra, and definitely the people who have wisdom, the wise people, who have the clear vision of the truth, without doubt, they will teach. That's what is said in the 34th verse. Now we'll move on to the 35th verse.
Yajnatvana punarmoham evam yasyasi pandava yena bhutanyaseshena drakshasyatmanyatho mahi. Api chedasi papebhyah sarvebhyah papakrittamah sarvam jnanaplavenaiva vrijinam santarishyasi yathai dhamsi samiddhognihi bhasmasat kuruterjuna jnanagnis sarvakarmani bhasmasat kurute tatha nahi jnanena sadrusham pavitramiha vidyate tatsvayam yogasam siddhah kalenatmani vindati. In all these verses, Bhagavan talks about the glory of jnanam. And then, who is the one who attains the absolute peace? He says in this 39th verse, which we saw in the last class, Shaddhavan labhate jnanam tatparasayatendriyaha jnanam labdhva param shantim achirenadhigachati.
We saw this. Param shantim achirena adhigachati. You can see the Sanskrit language also, Shraddhavan Param Shantim Adhigachati. The person of Shraddha, the person who has unflinching words for the faith in the words of the Shastram, Shraddha in the Shastram, accept Shastram as the Pramanam, not simply accepting, thereby surrenders himself to Shastram in terms of studying it, thereby being given to this discipline of Shravanam, Mananam, etc., definitely can't help, can't miss this understanding. He attains jnanam, jnanam labhate, jnanam labdhva. Once he has jnanam, and jnanam alone is in the form of absolute purity, thereby absolute peace. Last class I helped you understand absolute peace of mind. Absolute peace is possible only in absolute mental purity. And absolute mental purity is only when the immediate cause of the impurities, in terms of the immediate cause of the impurities, that in terms of the fundamental problem of sense of smallness centered on I is resolved. Immediate cause is resolved, the impurities, the fear, anxiety, hatred, jealousy, etc. also will resolve for good, that no situation can trigger them, thereby there's purity. And for this immediate cause, in the form of fundamental problem, of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of insecurity centered on I to resolve, the root cause of the problem, the ignorance has to be resolved. Ignorance resolves in jnanam. Therefore, jnanam labdhva param shantim adhigachati, which means without jnanam, parashantihi is not possible. Temporary shantihi may be possible whenever we divert our attention, we forget ourselves, we are enjoying pleasures, etc., we forget, but still there is no absolute peace. So parashantihi is only in jnanam, and for which shastram is the means. That is made very clear in this verse. And this is what, otherwise said, suppose in jnanam, in spite of perceiving the duality, experiencing the duality, one can see how essentially there is non-duality. And in seeing the non-duality, what is resolved is, there is no I, there is no Jagat. Absolutely there is no I or Jagat. Relatively there is I and the Jagat. Relatively there is duality. Therefore, relatively there is plurality. There is experience of duality. There is perception of duality. But absolutely, one can clearly see what is this absolutely non-dual reality in the form of consciousness from the standpoint of which there is neither I nor Jagat. It is this vision in which Parashantihi. Parashantihi, that's what is said here differently here. And for which one must be totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge. So, tatparaha, sanyata indriyaha, shaddhavan, jnanam labdhva, param shanti madhigacchati, which also we have seen last class. Now, see the next new verse. Agnyascha shraddhadanascha samshayatma vinashyati. Agnyascha shraddhadanascha samshayatma vinashyati. Nayam lokosti. Nayam lokosti na paro. Sukham samshayamatmanah. Agnyascha shraddhadanascha. Agnyascha shraddhadanascha. Samshayatma vinashyati. Agnyascha shraddhadanascha. Samshayatma vinashyati. This morning I said in Gita class, the Sanskrit class, the intransitive verb comes. Means it cannot be changed into passive voice. So here vinashyati. Vinashyati means perishes. And who perishes here? Samshayatma perishes. Samshayatma vinashyati. Samshayatma vinashyati. I'll repeat the verse. Agnyascha shraddhadanascha samshayatma vinashyati. Nayam lokosti na paro na sukham samshayatmanah. Nayam lokosti tina paro na sukham samshayatmanah. So here samshayatma vinashyati. See, nashyati itself means perishes. And vinashyati means definitely perishes. Here perishes means what? Perishes does not mean one gets destroyed for good. No. Vinashyati, perishes, means one continues to suffer. That's what it means. So samshayatma, samshayaha means doubt. And the one who, in whose mind doubt is there, he is samshayatma. Doubtful minded is samshayatma. Not the doubtful mind here, the doubtful minded. The person who is doubtful perishes. And here, who is this? Agnyaha. So, gnyaha means knower, agnyaha means ignorant. This person who is naturally ignorant, all the human beings who are born ignorant. So, agnyaha, being ignorant, an ignorant person, and then asaddhadanaha. So saddhadanaha means one who has saddha, one who has saddha. Shraddhavan is equal to shraddhadanaha. And shraddha rahitaha, ashraddhavan is called ashraddhadanaha. One who does not have shraddha is ashraddhadanaha. The faithless, ashraddhadanaha, the ignorant person who does not have any faith in shastram, ashraddhadanaha. Why he doesn't have? Because he doubts. He is skeptical. Samshayatma vinashyati. And for such a person, I am lokaha na asti. For such a person, even enjoyment of this world is not possible. Even living, enjoying simple pleasures in this world, in this life is also not possible. I am lokaha means this world. Even this world is not there for him. Na paraha. Definitely there's no paraha lokaha. I am lokaha means this world is not there. Paraha lokaha, because Shastram talks about the heavenly pleasures. Even impossible for him to have even parasukham, paraha lokaha. Other world also is not possible. So enjoyment of pleasures in this world is not possible. Enjoyment of pleasures in higher worlds also is not possible. And nasukham. Nasukham. There is no such a thing called happiness at all for the doubtful minded. Samshayatmanaha, possessive case. Samshayatma, samshayatmanam, samshayatmana, samshayatmane, samshayatmanaha, samshayatmanaha. Samshayatmanaha, possessive. For the person who has doubt, who is doubtful minded, for him, na sukham, there is no happiness. So, he says, ashraddhadanaha, samshayatma. Two words Bhagavan uses here. Ashraddhadanaha, one word would have been enough. The person who does not have shraddha is enough. But samshayatma, one who doubts, one who does not have shraddha, and such a person, and he is also ignorant, being doubtful, being, you know, not having any faith in Shastram, what can help him? If we cannot, if we do not accept Shastram as the Pramanam, what else in the world can help us? I mean, having faith in Shastra means even, okay, I don't study Shastram directly, but at least I listen to people who make sense because of their understanding of the Shastram. Even without calling it the Shastram, there are some people who teach good things, like parents or grandparents or elders. Sometimes, even that will help. But if we don't have faith in Shastra means you cannot accept anything what people who have Shastra Jnanam say also. Therefore, Samshayatma Vinashyati is the literal meaning of the verse. So, Samshayatma Vinashyati Agyaha Ashraddhadanaha Samshayatma. Three adjectives for this one person. Agyaha Ashraddhadanaha Samshayatma. The one who does not have Shraddha, one who is ignorant, and one who doubts, he perishes. And for such a person, for the person who doesn't have Shraddha and who doubts, for him, three things are denied. What is that? Happiness is impossible. Na sukham. Okay. What about time-bound pleasures in higher worlds? No. What about time-bound pleasures in this world? No. Ayam lokaha nasti, paraha lokaha nasti, sukham nasti. All the three things are denied. Okay, we'll see what exactly Bhagavan says here. See, Bhagavan here directly deals with negative tendencies, the traits which are very negative. See, if you see the previous verse, Shraddhavan labhate jnanam, Shraddhavan param shantim adhigacchati. There he talked about all things positively. If you have Shraddha, you get jnanam. If you have Shraddha, as a result of jnanam, you have absolute peace. What you get? So they all there he talked positively. So what is that we need to inculcate? What is that we need to imbibe? What is that we really require? What is that we need to nourish here? Definitely, Shraddha has to be inculcated. Shraddha must be imbibed. Definitely we require Shraddha. We had to nourish Shraddha. Unless we take care of these negative traits, and it will result in nasha, result in vinasha. So, first thing what he talks about is ajnanam. So, ajnaha, when he says ignorant person, there, ignorance of the world is natural. We don't know everything in the world. Naturally, we are ignorant of many things in the world. And of course, there is ignorance of the self. If we are not totally ignorant of everything in the world. We know how to eat. We know how when we feel hungry, when to eat, what to eat, how much to eat. We have certain knowledge of how to live in this world. But here, ignorance is ignorance of. Ignorance is a first negative thing. Secondly, lack of faith. Faithlessness. So, Shraddha Danaha, Ashraddha Danaha. So, Ashraddha means not having Shraddha. Not having Shraddha in the Shastram. So being ignorant itself is a negative aspect. Then again, not having Shraddha is another worse negative trait. Thirdly, Bhagavan says, Samshayatma, the doubtful minded, there the third negative thing is samshayaha. So ajnanam, ashraddha, samshayaha. These are three traits Bhagavan discuss here. Doubt. Having a doubt, samshayaha, is natural. But doubt is always expression of tamoguna. And being endowed with the doubt is a problem. Doubt will really make us face lots of problems. So being uninformed is not a problem. Not being very highly wise in the world is not a problem. But some faith is there somewhere in Shastram. And some faith in what the people who have knowledge of Shastram, definitely that will help a person. So somewhere some faith in Shastram will help a person pray, worship, live a life of dharma. In due course of time, that will help. So however a person is wise, worldly wise, is very clever, very smart, is worldly wise, but if he does not have Shraddha, then definitely he is ignorant and it cannot protect him. See, if a person does not have Shraddha in Shastram, he cannot have Purushartha Nischaya, he cannot have Moksha. Being Purushartha will not become clear. He will be searching for happiness, but Moksha being Purushartha will not be clear. And he cannot know the value of the knowledge. And where's the question of being committed to the pursuit of knowledge? I tell you, there's no way of understanding the value of dharma. See, even if you are not aspiring for jnanam, it is okay. If you do not know the value of dharma, you can never make efforts totally to live a life of dharma. And if there's no way of, it is not possible to live a life of dharma, means what? Without Purusharth Nischaya, having Arthakamas as the ultimate goal, and being righteous, being ethical is impossible always. Definitely, the likes and dislikes, all the emotions will be triggered and they will chase you. And they're being driven by your own likes and dislikes, we helplessly will go against dharma. And that's all. And such a person always being reactive, restless, agitated, he cannot even enjoy his own joy in this world, in his own pleasures in this world. And where's the question of enjoying pleasures of higher worlds? You don't have Shraddha in Shastram, he cannot worship. He cannot perform even rituals. Once you don't worship, and even non-worshipful person cannot imagine enjoying heavenly pleasures according to Shastra. Even though enjoyment of heavenly pleasures is only matter for belief, non-provable, non-disprovable matter for belief, still, there's no Shraddha in Shastram, there's no way of enjoying pleasures in this world, no way of enjoying pleasures in heaven. And where's the question of jnanam? Where's the question of having mental purity? And where's the question of having peace of mind? Impossible. Yesterday I happened to visit one Swami, and he was telling, I've come to this country, I every day go out and sit in their garden. And then what he said, the owner of the house, of course, very nice person, and he never went to the garden, sat there. Whole life has been busy working. Never had any time to go and sit in his own garden, enjoy the garden. The whole life has gone. 70 years of life has gone. And now after retirement, first time, because this guest who has come, he wants to go and sit in the garden. Along with him, this person also goes and sees. After he said, it seems, I never went even once to this garden to sit and see this. Even though every day he sees the garden through the window, he never enjoyed it. It's because of busy life, that's a different thing. But what I want to say here, this is how things happen. For a person, simply being, even see, even as a righteous person, ethical person, when you're very busy itself, you are not, you cannot enjoy what you have sometimes. And being unethical, being non-righteous, all the time driven by your emotions, you know, restless, agitated, where's the question of enjoying this world? Impossible. Even simple pleasures you cannot enjoy in this world. And where's the question of enjoying heavenly pleasures? And where's the question of having sukham? Shantamu leka saukhyamu ledu. There is no saukhyam, there is no sukham without shanti. And there's no shanti without purity. And there's no purity without jnanam. I told many times, unless you're living a life of dharma will help you manage your emotions, thereby you'll have shanti relatively. Therefore, you can be peaceful. But jnanam will help you have resolved these emotions for good. Thereby, you'll have shanti. Thereby, you have sukham. So, sukham, absolute shanti or relative shanti. Parashanti or some shanti. Shanti is possible. Sukham is possible only if there is shanti. And shanti is possible only if the emotions are resolved totally or at least managed. You must have jnanam, at least you must live a life of dharma. Otherwise, so it goes with dharma, thought management, emotions, management of emotions, thereby you have some shanti, some sukham. And you have jnanam, you resolve the emotions for good, thereby Parashanti, Paramsukham is possible. And for this person, no Shraddha in Shastram means, if Shastram being the Pramanam we had understood, Purushartha will not be clear, knowledge of the value of knowledge will not be there, knowledge of Dharma may be there, but value of Dharma, value of values cannot be appreciated. And therefore, living a life of values will be very difficult. Then you can imagine what would be this situation. Therefore, asya samshayatmanaha ayam lokaha nasti paraha lokaha nasti sukham api nasti. Therefore, Bhagavan says, definitely trust is important. Faith in Shastram is very important. That's why one must have some punyam to have faith in Shastram. Otherwise, you cannot understand. Definitely not. At least, even if you're exposed to Shastram, somewhere one must understand the value of dharma. That's why any faith in any religious life is okay in the beginning. Even though jnanam and moksha are not possible, somewhere a person has to have certain degree of sanity. Definitely he must have some faith somewhere. So that at least everywhere values are emphasized. Whether people emphasize the value of values or not, even the moksha being the end is not shown in other cultures, jnanam is not revealed, value of values is not taught, at least values which are already known are emphasized in every culture. Somewhere, at least that will help, at least. Otherwise, a no shraddha in Shastram, definitely he perishes means, and he'll be ruined. Actually, Bhagavan says in the second chapter, pranashyati. There he uses the term pranashyati. Here he says vinashyati. Pra is a prefix, therefore dental nakara is replaced by cerebral nakara. Pranashyati, vinashyati. Pranashaha, vinashaha. What's the same meaning? See, suppose if you do not manage your emotions at all, not having faith in anything, not following dharma and being all the time, you know, impelled by your emotions, you are behaving, and every situation will trigger your emotions. And if you do not know how to handle them, and the more you are disturbed, and even pain and worries, your attention will get stuck, and then you will lose even what? You will go mad. You know, becoming mad means what? Even going to the extent of losing the knowledge of existence of one's own self. You know, after you have thought in terms of I am, the mad people, they don't even know. No, that is the pranasha. And then you do not know what you're doing. Other people have to help you, guide you. That is real pranasha. You know, mental disorder, allowing oneself to become depressed, dejected, and having to take antidepressant medication, etc., is real nasha. You know, why that happens? Because you do not know how to manage your thoughts. Because always we do not know. We are helpless. We are helpless. We do not understand our helplessness here. Not that we want to be wrong, we want to be bad. That is why, you know, as a person who knows Shastra, we can only accommodate other people. Anybody's, any behavior we can accommodate. Why? Because there's nobody intentionally does anything wrong. Behavior is sometimes very difficult to handle and accept. That behavior is expression of one's thoughts. How the thoughts come. And all those thoughts are there. The behavior is there because there's always erroneous perception of the world. Always my perception of other people, other behavior, everything is wrong. And my perception is wrong because my conclusions are wrong. My conclusions are wrong because, you know, because this my own perception of my own self is erroneous. So all wrong conclusions, wrong perceptions, and then my behavior is completely expression of my wrong conclusions based on my wrong perceptions. I can't handle. So I get hurt. I feel guilty. I be subject to hurt and guilt. I also tremendously contribute for others' hurt and guilt. So then it results in what? It damages. Relationship damages. And how can you be peaceful? Unnecessary worry and pain and mental disturbance, commotions, and, you know, it's all, and then relationships break. And the more and more enmity and more grief. So it results in even it can drive one to the extent of becoming mad. So physical death is not destruction, but losing one's mental strength, you know, allowing oneself to be dejected and depressed is nasha. Because completely you lose your capacity to think. Then you do not know what you're doing. You do not know what you're saying. And not only you become victim of your problems, others around you also have to become victims of your problems. And that is nasha. Therefore, Krishna says here, so agnyaha ashtadhadanaha samshayatma. For him, vinashaha means, such a person, how can he enjoy any simple pleasure he cannot enjoy? You know, because when you're eating sweet also, mind will be somewhere. When you're watching something nicely also, mind will be somewhere. People will be laughing and then smiling and enjoying the music. Your mind will be somewhere. You can't enjoy music. You can't enjoy the laughter. You can't understand the joke because you're lost in something. You can't enjoy the food. Because you are lost in something. Ihasukam, simple pleasures you will miss. And people all be talking to each other, enjoying the friendship. You cannot mix. Because you are lost in something. So losing oneself in something because of the mismanagement or because of the incapacity to manage one's, lack of capacity to manage one's thoughts on losing oneself in something, getting lost in something, really prevents one from enjoying the simple pleasures of this world. And where is the question of being prayerful, thoughtfully, thoughtfully worshipful, earning Bhagavan's grace and enjoying heavenly pleasures? And where is the question of having sukham? Impossible. Okay. Now, yoga sanyasta karmanam jnana sanchinna samshayam. Yoga sanyasta karmanam jnana sanchinna samshayam. Atmavantam na karmani nibadhranti dhananjaya. Atmavantam na karmani nibadhranti dhananjaya. Yoga sanyasta karmanam jnana sanchinna samshayam. Atmavantam na karmani nibadhranti dhananjaya. Again, Bhagavan glorifies knowledge. How? By glorifying the wise person. He says, karmani na nibadhananti. You learn this verb, badhanati. Like janati, badhanati. Badhanati, singular. Badhananti, plural. The different verb. Janati, jananti. Badhanati, badhananti. But the ni is a prefix. Badhananti, bind. Nibadhananti, definitely bind. Nibadhananti, bind. What bind? Karmani. But Krishna says, na badhananti. Karmani na nibadhananti. Karmani here means what? Agami karma, sanchitam karma, prarabdha karma. The word karma here means karma phalani. So, agami sanchita prarabdha karma phalani na nibadhananti. So, fruits of actions are karma, karmani here. Karmani here means karma phalani. What is the karma phalam which is denoted by the word karma? The unexhausted, yet to be exhausted results of previously done, knowingly or unknowingly, intentionally, unintentionally performed done actions. Results of actions are karmani. And those karmani will always be there. They never get destroyed for good. Always sanchitam will be there. Therefore, portion of sanchitam which is being exhausted is prarabdha, because of which very birth is there, very present life is prarabdha. While exhausting the prarabdha to live this life, helplessly, choicelessly, accumulation of sanchitam also will be there. So sanchitam will always die in the prarabdha, therefore prarabdha will be unending, endless, big bundle of karma. Sanchitam will always be endless, unending, big bundle of karma, only a small portion of which is being exhausted in the present life as prarabdha karma phalam. I told you many times, while exhausting the prarabdha karma phalam, we were living this life choicelessly, helplessly, inevitably, we are again accumulating new karma phalam.
which is Agami. Therefore, Sanchita Prarabdha Agami, Sanchita Prarabdha Agami, Sanchita Prarabdha Agami will be continuously there. And this phalam being there, and to exhaust the phalam, birth or janma is because of karma, karma phalam. What is this birth for? I told you the day, even the very beginning, when we discussed the difference between avatara and ordinary birth, I told you, ordinary human birth is determined by karma phalam, prarabdha karma phalam. So birth janma is because of karma phalam. And karma phalam is because of karma. And karma is because of our naturally rising likes and dislikes. And the likes and dislikes, the desires are because of our needs. Needs are because of our inadequacy. Inadequacy is because of lack of fullness. Lack of fullness is because of ajnanam. Because of the wrong notion that I am small, and that is because of erroneous perception, which is because of ajnanam. Therefore, ignorance, ajnanam, then adhyasaha, adhyaropaha, ahankara. I taught you in the very beginning of introduction Vedanta class. Is an asha, then karma, karma phalam, janma. So Shankara calls this briefly avidya, kama, karma. Ignorance, desire. Does desire cause action? Karma, which is janma. The word janma. So, therefore, samsaraha, this life of transmigration, is bondage. Okay, it's called karma bandha. Bondage of karma means what? Karma bandha means helplessly being born again and again and again and again, assuming a body, mind sense complex, to exhaust the punya papa in terms of prarabdha is what? Samsaraha. It's called life of transmigration. That is why life has no beginning and end. It's a beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths, and this is continuously there. It's called bondage of karma. Why? Because you're bound by karma. Karmani badhananti, nibadhananti. See, you have no way of freeing yourself from bondage. That's why nischayena badhananti, karmani nibadhananti. Whom do the karmani nibadhananti? Kam nibadhananti? Karmani kam nibadhananti? Ajnaninam. The ignorant person. These karmani, sanchita prarabdha agami karmani bind whom? Only ignorant person. Anatmavantam badhananti. Okay? The person who is ignorant of the truth obtaining as one's own self, the person who is ignorant of the self, ajnani, and him, these action, the phalani badhananti, nibadhananti. Whereas Krishna says here, karmani na nibadhananti. He dhananjaya, he Arjuna. Karmani na nibadhananti. Whom come atmavantam. Atmavantam karmani na nibadhananti. Karmani subject, atmavantam object, na nibadhananti verb. Atmavantam karmani na nibadhananti. So, atmavan, see, atmavat shabdaha. Atmavat shabdaha, takaranta shabda. In nominative, atmavan. In objective, atmavantam. So, atmavantam na nibadhananti. What is nominative? Atmavan. So, atmavan means the person who has the clear vision of
one's real nature being Atma, all pervasive reality obtaining in him of consciousness implied by the term Atma, he is Atmavan. One who has taken ownership of Atma, the reality as the self, he is Atmavan. One who has the Atma is Atmavan. Who, for whom Atma is? One who knows the Atma, for him Atma is. One who does not know Atma, for him there is no Atma. One who does not know the self, for him there is no Atma. If you know it is there, if you do not know it is not there, you can say Atma is, Atma is. But what is Atma? Therefore, Atmavan is the one who has Atma. One who has Atma means one who knows Atma. One who knows Atma means not one for whom Atma is the very self, not in known. The one for whom Atma is there as the very truth of I, the knower, he is Atmavan. Okay, one who knows Atma means the problem. Okay, one for Atma is an object of one's knowledge. One who has claimed, one who has taken ownership of the reality, the swarupam of the knower as the self, he is Atmavan. The wise person who has clear vision of the self is Atmavan. Atmavantam karmani na nibadhanti. Why? Because for Atmavan means for him the truth of I is not the body, mind, sense complex. For him, the meaning of the word I, the substance or the substantive I, is not the physical body, is not the sense organs, is not any of the material aspects, not even antahkaranam. For him, the substance or the substantive I is a formless, the most intangible, subtlest reality. The pure knowledge, pure consciousness is the Atma, the self, truth. And such a person, and who sees Atma is the self for him, truth of I, and the consciousness is, he knows the nature of consciousness. Our consciousness is of the, is free from doership and enjoyership. Consciousness has no punyam, no papam. Consciousness is not the doer. Consciousness has no impurities. Consciousness has no blemishes. Consciousness has no actions. It has nature of actionlessness. Therefore, this person who claims Atma to be the self as the truth of I is free from doership and enjoyership. From the standpoint of Atma, the consciousness, is free from I, the self, am, Atma, which is free from body, mind, distinct from body, mind, and complex, but free from doership and enjoyership. Just without doing anything, correcting the error in the perception of the self, resolving the wrong notions, this person becomes free from doership and enjoyership, becomes free from all punya papams for good. Sanchitam is not there for him. Agami is not at all there for him. Prarabdha also, he is objective towards his prarabdha. Prarabdha idam shariram. This body is yet to go through prarabdha. His mind, prarabdha is there for this body. Mind's complex wishes, I am free. That is his understanding. Therefore, atmavantam karmani na nibadhanti. The karmas do not bind at all. There's no bondage of action for a wise person. Atmavantam karmani na nibadhanti. And who is this person? Why? How he is Atmavan? He says, jnana sanchinna samshayam. All adjectives for Atmavantam, he had two adjectives. Yoga sanyasta karmanam, jnana sanchinna samshayam, two adjectives for Atmavantam. To make it nominative, Jnana Sanchinna Samshayaha. This wise person, Atmavan, is the person who has clear vision of the self being the consciousness, the truth of I being the Atma. Such a person is a Jnana Sanchinna Samshayaha. Now, Samshayaha, doubt. Sanchinna means the one whose doubt is totally resolved by clear understanding. His doubt is what? Doubt-free, ascertained vision he has. All the doubts have been clearly cleaved, cut, severed by knowledge. Jnanena samshayaha sanchinnaha yasya. The one whose doubts have been totally resolved. Jnana sanchinna samshayaha. There's no doubt or anything. He has which means he has clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the self being the truth of I being Atma. He is Atmavan, and for him, there's no Sanjita Agami Paradha Karma. How did he get that jnanam? He says, Yoga Sanyasta Karmanam. Yoga Sanyasta Karmanam. So here, the word yoga means jnanam. Jnana Sanyasta Karmanaha. This person who has renounced all his actions through knowledge. How does he renounce his, in spite of doing the actions, he knows that he is the Atma which is free from doership and enjoyership. I am the doer, that notion is not there anymore for him. I am the enjoyer, that notion is not there anymore for him. Because I am is not identified with the body mind's complex anymore. Even though I am, this knowledge is possible only if there is association with the body mind's complex. Association is there. Still the physical body is there, mind is there, sense organs are there. Still the person is living there as an individual human being. Involved in all the activities, all the functions, fulfills all the natural biological needs, but still cognitively he has distinguished I-sense. He resolved the I-sense in Atma, and he is free from the doership and enjoyership. Therefore, I am the doer, that notion is not there. Even if he is doing, he is free from, he is not doing. In spite of doing, even if he's doing, he's very active physically, he's orally, he's mentally, he's perceptually, but still he's not the doer. He's enjoying everything, still he's not the enjoyer. Why? Because he's free from the notion, I am the doer. Therefore, even if he's doing, he's not the doer. He's free from the notion that I am the enjoyer. Even if he's enjoying, he's free from enjoyership. How is it possible for him to be free from the notion? Because for him, the meaning of the word I is not the body mind's complex. For him, the substance of the substantive I is this all-pervasive reality consciousness, Atma. Therefore, such a person who is free from the notions that I am the doer and the enjoyer is the one who has renounced his actions through knowledge. Who is said to have renounced the actions through knowledge? In spite of being physically active, doing everything, the person is said to have renounced his actions through knowledge. When he is free from the notion, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. So yogaha here means jnanam. Yoga sanyasta karmanaha means
the person who has renounced his actions through knowledge, by seeing himself being free from doership and enjoyership, such a person, and who's endowed with the clear, doubt-free, ascertain vision of the reality obtaining as one's own self, one who sees the self being Atma, one has taken ownership of this Atma as the self, I the self and the all pervasive reality, the Atma. Such a person, only him, the karma palani na nibadhanti, karmani na nibadhanti. So karmani do not bind such a person, which means do not bind, cannot bind, he is free. Because really speaking, karmani never binds. Karmani do not bind at all. Bondage is in your notion. Really, does any punyam bind you? Does any papam bind you? No, nothing binds you. Are you really bound now? No. What is real bondage? It's all in your notion. Notion caused bondage has been resolved notionally, isn't it? Swami used to give his example before. When I was very young, he used to come for public talks. He used to give his example to make the whole big public understand this fact. He'll say you're already free. Just to say he has his own way of talking. There was some villager and he used to graze his cows every day. And he takes his cows for grazing. And every day he goes in the morning, he unties them all and his cows go for grazing. And the evening when they come back, again he ties them back. And one day, he sends all the cows back for grazing. They come back on evening and one cow he forgets to tie. So he goes to sleep and next day morning he comes. Again he sends all the cows for grazing and he knew this cow was not tied. So he knew, so he was just chasing the cow. Go, go. He was telling the cow was not moving an inch from there where it was. In his understanding, he knows he did not tie the cow. So he did not untie the cow. But he was just chasing the cow to go. All the cows have gone. This cow was not moving an inch. And he brought a stick and still the cow was not moving. He thought, my God, what happened? Why the cow is not moving? And he went back and told his guru, my God, Swami, one cow is not moving. I did everything I should do. It's not moving. And he asked, did you untie the cow? He said, I did not untie. Because I did not tie it last, I forgot. It was not tied. But the cow does not know it was not tied, isn't it? You act as though you're untying. The cow will move. And this man went down. He acted as though he was untying. The cow went off. The cow does not know. Similarly, really speaking, you are never bound. We are never bound. No karma can ever touch you. You are essentially the truth, the very source. The actions are all changes happening in the Atma. How can ever anything afflict, touch, untainted, Shuddha? Isn't it? Untouched. Nothing can touch the Atma. But unfortunately, there is a notion that I am the doer. Why? This I is just because you do not know. You only know you are. You do not know what you are. Therefore, because there's no physical distance, you identify yourself with the body. The I is, not that you want to identify, helplessly, naturally, I is identified with this. All the notions are there. So it's all notional. Bondage is not real bondage. If really you are bound, the freedom is impossible.
Okay, there's no real bondage at all. You are before jnanam also you were free. Only you did not know you were free. So before jnanam also you were free. After jnanam also you are free. Only then what is freedom then? Do you really attain freedom? No. You only attain the knowledge of yourself being free already, which is attainment of freedom. You attain the knowledge of yourself being free already, is attainment of freedom. That's why notion caused bondage. The no wrong notion resolves. Therefore, that is what bondage, freedom from bondage here. Because bondage is in your notion. So, karmani atmavantam na nibadhanti. Anatmavantam also na nibadhanti. Ajnaninam also na nibadhanti. Unfortunately, ajnani does not know he is free. He is already free. Jnani knows that he is already free. Okay, so you do not attain freedom, you attain the knowledge of freedom which you already have. So therefore, Krishna says in this verse, so yoga sanyasta karmanam, the person who has renounced his actions through knowledge, thereby who has resolved all his doubts totally for good through knowledge. So through knowledge, what happens? Through knowledge, he renounces his actions. Not physically. Renounces his doership. That which is renunciation of actions. Through knowledge, all his doubts are resolved for good. And such a person, for him, this truth of the self, real self, is not the body mentions complex. For himself, the truth of I is Atma. And for such a person, karmani na nibadhanti. So, the results of actions do not bind such a person. It means he is free.
Tasmad ajnana sambhutam.
Last verse. Tasmad ajnana sambhutam hritstham jnana sinatmanah. Jnanasinatmanah chitvainam samshayam yogam atishthotishtha bharata chitvainam samshayam yogam atishthotishtha bharata chit Tvainam samshayam yogam atishtho tishtha bharata tasmad ajnana sambhutam hritstham jnanastinatmanah chitvainam samshayam yogam atishtho tishtha bharata.
Now, Bhagavan concludes in this verse.
Tasmat. When do you use tasmat? Literally means from him. Literally means from that, from him. But we use this due to that reason. Tasmat hetvarte panchami. The panchami vibhakti is used to mean the cause. Tasmat means due to that reason. Therefore, tasmat, therefore means what? Only in jnanam, you can claim your freedom, which is already there. You cannot attain freedom from bondage because you never had bondage. You were never bound really. Therefore, there's no way of attaining freedom really. Claiming the freedom which you already have through your real, through knowledge of what you are essentially is attainment of freedom. So knowledge is freedom. Knowledge of what you are essentially is claiming the freedom which is already there, which is attainment of freedom. There's no real attainment of freedom here. Attainment of knowledge of your real nature being free already is attainment of freedom. Therefore, what you need to attain is knowledge, not freedom. What you need to attain is knowledge, jnanam. Why? It is what caused this bondage is ajnanam. If you want freedom from the bondage caused by ajnanam. So bondage is caused by ignorance of your real nature. What you want to resolve the ignorance is jnanam. Therefore, and this ajnanam is where? In your own mind. Ignorance of what? As your own real nature. And hritstham. Hrit means heart. And the heart implies the mind. And the ajnanam, ignorance of your real nature, is there in your own mind. And you have to resolve that ignorance of what you are. When you discover what you are, ignorance need not be destroyed. Ignorance will be resolved. Hritstham ajnana sambhutam samshayam. And this doubt, delusion, the doubt, delusion. Doubt about what? Doubt about anything else in the world is okay, but doubt about your own self. What actually you are, you do not know. So you must have a clear, doubt-free knowledge of your self being. Atma, the formless of subtlest reality, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge is the truth of I. Even though you see, you know how clear you are. Yes, this wave is water. How doubt free you are. Wave is water. There's no doubt. Wave is a form. Wave is a word denoting a form. And it is associated with the given function also, but still you know this wave is water. Similarly, this I, the first person singular pronoun, it expressed to refer to yourself. Every one of you is used by every one of us, and this I is no doubt is associated with this instruments of knowledge, knowledge called mind, instruments of knowledge called perception, instruments of actions, and all subtle powers, physiological functions, and the grossest physical body, no doubt. But still, this I is inseparable from all of them, but definitely it is distinct from all of them. It is not distant but distinct, and it is not, it has no physical form. It's subtlest, very, very subtle thought formed, rises and dissolves. And this I is definitely essentially the subtlest reality, consciousness, pure knowledge. I is the manifest knowledge, and the Swarupam, the source of that I, is pure knowledge. And which is Atma. No doubt. Therefore, this doubt is possible, and doubt about that Atma should be resolved. Yes, I, the self, I self am the knower, I the knower am consciousness Atma. The doubt should be resolved. Therefore, samshayam, and this some doubt is caused by what? Ajnanam. Ajnana sambhotam hritstham samshayam. This doubt is where doubt also is in the form of a thought in your mind. And this doubt is caused by ignorance, which is also in the mind. Hritstham samshayam. Ajnana sambhotam. Caused by ignorance. What should you do now? Chitva. May you cut it, cleave it. How? With the knife of knowledge. Jnana asina. Asihi means knife. Asihi also means sword. The sword of knowledge. Earlier we saw jnana plavena. With the raft of knowledge, may you cross this ocean of samsara we studied. Now we hear this word. Jnana asina. With the sword of knowledge, may you cut this doubt about the self, born of ignorance in your own mind. Which is, where is it? Which is very much rooted in your own mind. Tasmat. What should you do? Yogam atishtha. See, atishthati. You're learning a new verb, okay? Tishthati, stha, root. Stha is the root. Tishthati is the verb. And uttishthati, utt is a different prefix. It gets up, rises. Atishthati. Atishthati means takes to. Abides by. Yogam atishtha means may you take to yoga, which means may you be given to the pursuit of knowledge. Take to yoga. And in order for which may you also live, the word yoga implies both. Karma yoga first, jnana yoga later. May you take to yoga means may you be given to live a life of karma yoga first to prepare your mind. Thereby may you be given to the pursuit of knowledge in terms of shravanam and mananam. May we attain jnanam, discover freedom which is already there. For uttishta, hey Arjuna, get up. There's no time. You can't afford to waste your time. Time is very precious. This human life, your span of human life is very, very precious. Never ever you can waste your time. Uttishta, yogam atishta. Arjuna, uttishta, yogam atishta. Get up. May you be given to yoga. May you take to yoga. So yoga, may you take to yoga means what? Both yogas you have to remember here. You need, you know, the whole order you know very well. Why? There's no, this is the yoga, yogam atishta. Means yogam atishtati means he takes to yoga. Taking to yoga, being given to yoga means what? Means just follow, has shraddha in the shastra. Thereby what happens? He knows, no, have purusharth nischayas there.
He knows the value of knowledge of the truth. He knows preparation of importance of preparing the mind. Therefore, he knows the value of the study of the Shastram. And he studies the Shastram. So, Shravanam, Mananam, etc. He also knows the mind has to be prepared for Jnanam, for which he has to manage the emotions. So he has to live a life of Karma Yoga governed by Dharma. Isn't it? So he says that so Yogam Atishta means the whole teaching is given in one line by saying Yogam Atishta. Live a life of Karma Yoga. Be committed to live a life of values. Live your life consciously with the proper attitude. Be worshipful. Be prayerful. Seek Bhagavan's grace to be able to live a life of Dharma. Manage your emotions. See that you have Antakarna Shuddhi and Naishchalyam. And be also simultaneously be given the study of the Shastram. Have Shravanam and Mananam. Have Jnanam. Be clear. Have clear vision of yourself being Brahma, Atma. And discover freedom which is there already as your nature. For which? Why? Because this doubt about yourself is born of ignorance, which is very much rooted in your own mind. Hritstham ajnana sambhotam samshayam chitva. So, you have to resolve this doubt caused by ignorance rooted in your own mind, for which if the very root ignorance has to be resolved, for which you need only jnanam. Nothing else other than jnanam can protect you, Arjuna. Yogam Atishta. Okay. Therefore, attain Jnanam. Do Shravanam Mananam. Dwell upon what you've understood. Do Shravanam. Listen. Understand. Do Mananam. Have your doubts resolved. Dwell upon what you've clearly understood. Assimilate. Take ownership of the freedom which is already there. If you are not ready, also live your life prayerfully, worshipfully, in conformity with Dharma. Live a life of Karma Yoga with proper attitude. That is Yoga Asthanam. Atishtati noun is what? Asthanam. That's why they have given a nice name for one channel called Astha. Asthanam is noun. Anyway, tasmad ajnana sambhotam hritstham jnanasinatmanah chitvainam samshayam yogam atishtho tishtha bharat. How do you put the post order and finish the class is over today? Tasmad jnana ati jnana asina atmanaha ajnana sambhutam atmanaha samshayam. I'll repeat it again. Jnana asina ajnana sambhutam hritstham atmanaha samshayam chitva yogam atishtha uttishtha bharata. Any doubt? Okay. Next class, you will have a nice summary of the whole of fourth chapter. Okay? I really think I should do summary. I missed it earlier. I definitely want to do it for the summary, whole summary. We'll start the fifth chapter, next class. Okay? Om Harihi. Om Tat Sat Iti Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Su Upanishad Su ब्रह्म विद्यायां योगशास्त्रे श्रीकृष्णार्जुन संवादे ज्ञानकर्म संन्यासयोगो नाम चतुर्थोऽध्यायः। ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ॐ तत्सत्। श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ।